This is the BBC.
The Goon Show, folks. Yes, folks.
Yes, folks.
Yes, folks.
And now for an encore, Mr. Webster Smogpule will sing that lovely Mongolian saxophone solo for Cor Anglais and Cor Blamey. I lost my teeth in a monastery garden by Hurlston. We would like to announce that this was Smogpule's farewell appearance. But now to this week's great feature, a story of a mighty cannon designed to win the Crimean War. Here then is the saga of
the Giant Bombadom, or the Giant Bombadom, or the story of this great bombadom commences in the year 1853, the year of the Crimean War.
It is midnight in the Witcher HQ of Major Brednock, V.C. The British Army, Balaclava. The enemy are only a stone's throw away.
Kirsten, they've thrown another stone. Lord Cardigan, plug that holder.
This is the third winter in 4 months in this devilish place. 3 fiscal years fighting those Ruskies. They must be in the red. It looks bad.
Yes, it might even lead to war. Pass me the marlin, lad. Pass me the brandy, will you? Hark! I hear horses' hooves.
It's somebody galloping down the road.
Who is it?
It's a man with coconut shells strapped to his feet.
Economical devil. Let me see. Why, he looks like a messenger from the front. And he looks like one from the back as well. Let him in by letting him in.
Bad news.
Who are you?
Captain Siegel of the 3rd Athlete's Foot.
I am Bloodnock of the 2nd Royal Knees. Siegel? Wait a minute. Siegel? I didn't recognize you.
You know him, sir?
No, that's why I didn't recognize you.
Groan. Groan.
He's wounded with groans. Quick, the brandy.
Yeah. Now, steady now. Drink it.
Thank you. I never could stand the sight of blood, you know.
I'm all right, sir. It's only a flesh wound.
Oh, it looked like a bullet wound to me.
The Russians, sir. The Russians have attacked heavily, and after a 5-day battle against superhuman odds, I fear the 3rd dismounted foot of our fusiliers has retreated.
Retreated? A British regiment retreated? How much?
A quarter of an inch.
Retreated a whole quarter of an inch?
Yes. But what made them panic like this? They lost their colonel, sir. He's dead.
Colonel Splund dead?
Dead.
Oh, how did that happen?
He was killed.
Killed? Do you think that's what caused his death?
I'm not a doctor, sir.
What a coincidence.
How did he die?
Well, sir, the battle started at dawn 10 days ago. The Ruskies attacked Colonel Splund's troops, but they held grimly.
Stout fella.
Then the Cossacks charged Colonel Splund's troops, but he drove them back at nightfall.
Stout fella.
Well, he's very thin, really. Then the Russian artillery bombarded his troops for 2 days, but they budged not an inch. So it went on for 10 days.
My love, 10 days it went on for.
Colonel Splund's lad held firm and finally scattered the attackers with cold steel. It is then I learned that Colonel Splund was dead.
What a hero.
Yes.
Tell us, lad, how did he die?
He was hiding in the natty with a tear and fell on his nut.
A soldier's death. I hope he died with his boots on.
Why?
He had holes in his socks.
I don't need to know that.
Will you, Arga, will you? Things look bad, though, you know. Those Ruskies, they seem to have endless supplies of arms and legs. Early this morning, they brought 300 new cannon.
Are you sure?
Are you sure? Here's the receipt.
You're right. This war will last as long as Ruskies are safe behind the walls of Sebastopol.
What we need is a giant artillery mortar that will breach the walls.
Lieutenant Sigun, here's 10 shillings and a pair of tartan socks. Take the expert back to England and commission the building of a giant leather mortar. A bombardon.
I did as I was told. 3 weeks at sea saw us nearing England. The last night aboard, we had a concert on deck.
Like a soldier fall upon the field of a battle. I draw my sword and fight like a dream.
And next, ladies and gentlemen, we have Private Max Gildrain, and here he is in the secrets of a French washing machine. Thank you.
BBC knows what it's doing. In London, Lieutenant Sigun was given voice in a House of Commons special session.
Answer them all! There is discontent among the troops!
Lieutenant Sigun. You say there is discontent among the troops?
Yes, there is discontent among the troops!
Huh? Why do you say there is discontent among the troops?
Because there is discontent among the troops.
I see. You say there is discontent among the troops? Because there is discontent among the troops.
Yes. I said there is discontent among the troops because there is discontent among the troops.
Yes, well, it all sounds reasonable to me.
Thank you. Thank you. Lord gentlemen, the most pressing need in the Crimea is a heavy artillery mortar for siege purposes. You see, the Russian-held city of Sebastopol has walls 20 feet thick.
Lieutenant Sigun, you say the walls of Sebastopol are 20 feet thick?
Yes!
Why did you say that?
Because the walls of Sebastopol are 20 feet thick.
You say the walls are 20 feet thick? Because they are 20 feet thick.
Yes, I said it's 20 feet thick because they are 20 feet thick.
Well, you appear confident. Thank you.
Good luck. To continue, I would like to say...
Lieutenant, a passing thought. Have you ever measured the walls of Sebastopol?
No.
Then it is possible that the walls are not 20 feet thick.
It is possible.
They might be only 10 feet 6 inches thick.
It is possible the walls of Sebastopol are only 10 feet 6 inches thick.
You say that it is possible that the walls of Sebastopol are only 10 feet 6 inches thick?
Yes!
Why do you say that?
Because you said it.
I said it?
Yes!
Lieutenant, are you blaming me for the world?
Every day.
How can
you?
How
the
frame
you talk? You're a brave idiot, man.
Then who are you blaming for the
water? I'm not blaming anybody for the water, Sebastopol, being only 10 feet 6 inches thick.
But somebody must be responsible for the water being.
Nobody's responsible for the water, Sebastopol, being only 10 feet 6 inches thick.
We'll have to go. Gentlemen, please, please. After all, Lieutenant Seagoon did not say the walls were only 10 foot 6 inches. He said they were 20 feet thick.
20 feet?
Ah.
Then what happened to the other 9 feet 6 inches?
Nothing happened to the other
9
feet
6
inches.
Thank heavens they're safe. Lieutenant Seagoon, I apologize.
I accept your apology. Howdy. I do to say...
Lieutenant Seagoon.
My life.
You say you accept my apology?
Yes.
Why did you say that?
At midnight, the debate finished. And I decided to spend the night at my aunt and uncle, the dear old couple, who, being holders of government gilt-edged securities, lived in a tree in Hyde Park.
In my car and shoes in my nose. Ah, I'll have your herbs in a minute.
Henry!
Not Mother Min.
What are you doing, Henry?
I'm singing hot rhythm songs, Min. I'm rocking round the clock, Min.
What's all that other fat man there?
I'm watching the dinner plates, Min.
But we haven't had dinner yet, Henry.
Ah, but I'm watching them now so that we won't have to wash them after.
Was that you, Henry?
No, that was the elephant, Min. Helping me.
Is he drying up?
No, he feels quite moist, me. He's cooking the din, Min.
Yeah. I told you not to let him cook the dinner. You know that's the gorilla's job.
Sure, get out of Nutty Elephant. Shoo!
Don't. You know that elephant was helping me build my giant bombardier in the cellar?
I didn't. I don't know what we want a giant bombardier for.
No. Well, if you sleep in the barrel of it, Min.
It's your turn in the barrel, Henry.
Sleeping in the barrel, Min, it gets rid of rheumatism of the knees, you know.
Oh.
My uncle slept in a cannon once.
Oh, what did it get rid of?
It got rid of my uncle.
No, there's a blood on my spleen. That's blood on my spleen.
You realize we're lucky, Mudden Min. No one else in the street has got a bombardum. I'll answer it, Min. I know the way to the door.
Hello, Uncle Crumb.
Oh, it's shiny, short, and dreadful Neddy.
Min, back from the China Wars.
Come in, let me take that wet wig off.
Thank you.
Ah, home and beauty.
Come on in, darling. Come on and relax. Put your feet up.
You shouldn't have done that from the standing position.
You old joker, you.
You didn't know me, and I met Lieutenant Seagoon by accident.
You ran over me in a steamroller. Yes, Dad, happy days. Happy days. By the way, what's that thing in the cellar?
What? Didn't you know I'm building a giant leather bomb, madame?
Dear listeners, what luck. The very thing I come to England for.
You see, Min, I told you it'd come in handy.
Oh, I haven't introduced you to Colonel Rayington here.
How do you do?
Contact, genius Henry Crun set about completing his giant bombardment. Finally, the day of completion arrived.
Seagun, just put this office on, will you?
Thank you. It's a bit tight on the armpits.
Now, I have here a miniature of the bombardment. It's loaded, and to show you its angle of projection, I'm going to fire a shot at the target on that door.
Splendid!
Splendors, just like the fuse, would you?
Good morning. Hi, Reggie Swindy. I'm shooting. My kitten, you have shooten me. Hey! Falls to ground, clutching heart area in agony. Listen to me.
Don't be silly, little bottle. It was only a rubber bullet.
It's still agony there.
Why?
It went down my throat.
Hey, you swallowed a bullet. Quick, I'll pick you up.
Yes, but don't point it at anybody.
Oh. I have a rubber bullet within. I die. I'm killing you. That is me.
I'll fix it. Pass me the balance. Thank you. Now, Blue Bottle, take your hat off.
Okay.
Now.
Hey! Oh! Oh, you bagged it up. My captain has saved me.
Here's the lolly with the iron for the cannonballs.
Pardon me, mate. Where do you want all the scrap iron on the old iron on the lorry, mate?
throw the lot in this deep smelting pit.
Well, give me an hand, then.
Right, I'll make the straining noises. Look out for the tennis friendly. God, that was heavy.
It ought to be. That was a lorry.
You fool. Why didn't you tell me that was a lorry?
Well, I didn't have my glasses on. My mate borrowed them.
Well, you better get them back of him, hadn't you?
I can't. He was in the lorry. In the lorry.
Of course. I suppose he had to steer. To steer.
Out of me, Jim. Are you taking the money out of me, Jim? Oh, Jim, the barrels of gunpowder have arrived.
When are they?
They were a bit damp. So Winkles is drying the gunpowder out by the fire.
That's the last thing you should do.
It will be.
Here, our gunpowder exploded.
Thank you, Clint. It's been a long time. Oh, thanks.
Eagles, still alive?
Yep.
It must be a miracle. Go back and try again.
Oh, no, not again. I can't go around having fun all the time, you know. Where's my legs for?
Yeah, another trouble. On your head. There's always way to get another vast quantity of gunpowder. I'd pay anything for it.
We were in Siberia, queuing for Sputniks, and we happened to hear your chance remark, sir.
I haven't had the pleasure.
Allow me to, et cetera, et cetera. I'm Grit Pipe Thin, and this is the Hairy Count Jim Explosions Moriarty.
Oh, no. Explosions? You deal in gunpowder, then?
A far more deadly explosive.
What?
Licorice powder.
This is new to me. I demand a demonstration.
Moriarty.
Proof enough.
Yes. Just sign this contract and certificate of slavery, would you?
I'll sign with my banjo.
And I'll blot it with this piano.
Come! Have the licorice powder delivered on board the HMS Venus.
Krun, true to his word, had the giant bombardment completed well behind schedule.
In separate brown paper parcels, it was stored in the hold of the HMS Venus.
Likewise, the powerful crates of licorice powder post-free. Little does he know that one crate contains Count Jim Moriarty, who will spy for the Russians.
Finished?
Yes, thank you.
Teddy McSprawn, are you ready to sail?
Aye, sir.
Then off you go, Captain. Yes. How many knots are we making?
20 knots an hour.
We appear to be going slow for 20 knots.
Well, they're only granny knots.
He's fallen in the water.
Yes, little Jim. Naughty Uncle Harry did that. We don't want idiots on the ship.
Certainly. What's your address? No, no, dear listeners. I'd better save him. He might have the last line in the show. Yeah, catch this concrete life belt.
Dramatic chords, please, water.
It was 3 months' journey to the Crimea. But by December the 43rd, Krun's giant leather bombardon was dug in and sighted on the walls of Russian-held Sebastopol. Major Bloodnock had also been sighted by a certain Captain Fitzgerald.
It lies. So this is the bombardum, eh? What a terrible-looking monster.
No, I'm Eccles, that's the bombardum.
You've spoiled everything.
I spoiled everything?
Yes, you see, I just loaded you.
Bloodnock, sir. Telephone message from Commander Riot, Infantry HQ. Infantry HQ, that should have been.
Yes.
We must fire at dawn. It's a matter of life and click.
You mean life and death?
No, life and click. He hung up.
Stop those naughty audience-winning jokes. Remember, we fire at dawn tonight. Further chords, please.
Captain,
Why, it's snowing.
Nonsense. It just happens I have dandruff. Incidentally, the giant leather bombardon's ready for action, sir.
Right. Put a case of licorice powder down the barrel.
Three and nine.
Right. Ben, take up position. Find if it was a large portion of the submersible hull. Ready?
We now go over to Sebastopol Wall to hear the arrival of the missile.
Oh,
my.
Wow.
Mariotti, prepare for the payoff line, then run.
Right. We've been fired.
Well, there it is. Makes you mad, doesn't it? That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seacombe and Spike Milligan, with Valentine Dial, the Railinger Quartet, Max Geldray, and the orchestra conducted by Wally Stott. Script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Roy Spear.